Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you today and always. Amen. Some of you might know that I am a movie lover. Especially when I was younger, I could sit in front of the TV, watch movies all day long. Now, just as I have time. And I've always loved superhero movies. Heroes who possessed special powers because they came from another planet or due to some experiment gone wrong. It was always fun to watch my favorite superhero use his power to fight crime and justice and evil. And I'm eagerly anticipating seeing the new Black Panther movie later on today. My son's home from college with his girlfriend. We're taking the family and going. Maybe it's my love for these movies that planted a seed in my children, because as a family, we used to go see all the Marvel movies as they first came out. It's just a fun memory. So from my childhood, my favorite superhero has been Superman. Now, I know I just switched from Marvel to DC for you paying attention, but I'm a product of the 80s. I grew up watching Christopher Reeve as Superman and Gene Hackman as, the villain, Lex Luthor. Woo! So cut me some slack. But when the kids were younger, again, before the Marvel movies, they would select their own favorites, and one of their favorites was Batman. And I would say, good choice. But man, Batman doesn't really have any real superpowers. I mean, he's a rich guy with lots of cool inventions, yet Superman, he's the best. He's the most powerful superhero because there's nothing from Earth that can kill Superman. If you needed a superhero to save you, would you rather have a regular guy with fancy gadgets or someone who's indestructible? And at first, they would agree, until that one day when one of them looked up and said, "Dad, Superman can be killed with a rock. You know, kryptonite?" You know, when they start thinking on their own, it's great. But this Sunday, this Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. This Sunday is the end of one church year, of this church year, as we look forward to the next. It's time to pause to think about all the things that we have learned about Jesus in our gospel according to Luke and our other scriptures, and look forward to the anticipation of Jesus coming again. And it's called Christ the King Sunday for another reason. We are also called to notice the power of God through Christ. The power, the King of our salvation holds. Now, I know the language of king can be offsetting. It becomes one more masculine, monarchical, patriarchal word that is exclusive. So some refer to the Sunday as the Reign of Christ Sunday. More inclusive language is what we need. It's good. It's helpful. Sometimes people use the word kingdom instead of kingdom. I don't want the word king to get in the way of us understanding what's going on today, but it should remind us of the power that God possesses and how Jesus uses that power today. We also need to define what that power of God means to us through the life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Christ. Today's gospel reading seems to be an odd reading to choose for the Reign of Christ Sunday. Jesus was taken to a place called the skull. Not sure, but we can assume it was littered with bones and skulls of those who were executed previously. Jesus was wrongly accused and sentenced to death. Jesus was denied by his friends, stripped, beaten, nailed to the cross, and his only crown is that made of thorns. You can only think, is this the Savior all of his followers were expecting to see? Is this the same Messiah they had been learning from for the last three-ish years? They might have been asking, where is our Savior who healed the sick and the suffering? What happened to the one who tamed nature by calming the storms and who walked on water? Where's our Jesus who cast out demons with just one command? And the one who fed thousands with one boy's offering? Is this the same guy who created millions, or not millions, we wish. Is this the same guy who created gallons of wine out of water and brought life to the dead? Thousands of them followed because of his authoritative sermons and relatable stories. Is this how it ends? Three times Jesus is told, save yourself. Three groups of people are testing Jesus. They're tempting him to show the power of God. First, the leader scoffed him. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one. And then the soldiers mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Then even one of the criminals with whom he was crucified kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. It's reminiscent of the temptation Jesus experienced in the wilderness under the tempter. As another preacher said it, perhaps he heard the echoes of Satan's voice in his temptation when Satan said to him, if you are truly the Son of God, feed yourself, claim your power, overcome the laws of gravity and mortality. Come on, Jesus. If you are who you say you are, prove it. And at the cross, the taunts were the same. He saved others. Let him save himself. Save yourself, Jesus. Save yourself and us. Yet Jesus lives and dies in the real power, which is God's love, grace, and mercy, rather than dominance and egotism. Jesus is ushering in a new world, a new way of thinking, one that turns the world on its head, where the first will be last and the last will be first, where every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Jesus brings the equality and justice to all. No fancy gadgets needed. No wealth, not even born on a distant planet. God is applying the powers of righteousness through Jesus, not a power of dominance. In our reading today from Jeremiah, we hear, I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. God is our refuge and strength, the very present in help. As our psalm reads this morning, God makes wars cease to the end of the earth. God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God burns the shields with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And all of this can fall on deaf ears or blind eyes if we don't realize the power Jesus is exhibiting at the cross. If we only see weakness in this moment, we overlook the power and strength Jesus is utilizing. As he is betrayed and denied by his friends, as he is beaten, as he is stripped and they gamble over his royal robes, as a thorn crown is placed on his head, as he was led to the place of disgrace, nailed to a tree and crucified, the most brutal, discriminating punishment and painful death the Roman Empire could inflict. As all this is all happening, Jesus looks up, looks at all of them, and says, Father, God, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And as Jesus sees them, he also sees us. And his response is the same. Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That's the real power of a Savior. The real power of God is to love, to forgive, to shower us with grace and mercy. And going to the cross, Jesus is praying for us. In what seems to be his weakest hour, Jesus' power is accumulated. In our second reading for today, we heard in Colossians, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Because Jesus chose not to save himself, we know that he will meet us when we are confronted with our own crosses. We know that Jesus is with us when we reach our limits, when we cry out for help, when we realize that we cannot save ourselves, which is what our society preaches that we should do. Jesus is willing to go to the depths of our struggles, and actually, he's already there. Jesus is the one who taught us it was right to eat with the needy and the noble, in banquet halls and on hillsides. Our King of salvation hung out with sinners and the saintly, the rich and the poor. He preached to us about turning the other cheek and that the greatest must be the most humble. That the only way to save our life was to lose it for the sake of his kingdom. And he didn't just preach about it. He lived and died that. He lived and died into our humanity. He fully understands our challenges because he experienced humanity. And Jesus did not come to save us from our humanity or keep us from ever not feeling pain or sorrow, but he came to be with us in our joys as well as our pain and our sorrow. When all we can do is cry out to God, we are blessed by God, who does not abandon us or leave us. Jesus, remember me, as the other criminal cried out, is all we have to say. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember, reclaim, renew us. And Jesus answers us by the power of God, saying, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. At the foot of the cross, we see the great mystery and irony of God's power and forgiveness and grace. Jesus meets us there, not to rule over us, rather to humble himself, even to the point of suffering and death. And in that we receive great power. God's forgiveness and grace allows us to do the hard work of reconciling with one another, our loved ones, as well as those we don't agree with. Our faith based in God's power, our faith based in the greatest hope and promise of God, reveals that Jesus reigns both in our joyfulness and in our hardship, in our strength and our pain. Our power is limited, but the reign of Christ shows us we are loved. We are forgiven. We are reconciled. We are forever remembered. We are saved. That's the real power. Amen.